This is episode number 65 with my very good friend, Jared Gaynor. In this episode, we go over some of the news that's been going around college baseball lately. We talk about UNC Wilmington and the release of their pitching coach. We talk about College World Series, Oregon State, Arkansas, the Luke Heimlich situation at Oregon State. He is the starting pitcher in the game one of the College World Series. We get into him as well. We talk a little bit about college baseball players and how to coach them and motivate them. If you guys haven't already, please head on over to iTunes and subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps the overall rating of the show, and I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. So without further ado, here we go. All right, and now we are live. Jared, appreciate you coming on again this week.
Oh, happy to be on the show, Pat.
All right, so we're actually going to go over a few different things that have been happening lately throughout the college game specifically. Oregon State, Arkansas, who you got?
I got to go with Oregon State here.
Why is that?
I don't know. There's just something about them. You know, they seem to always find a way to win, and they got Luke Heimlich leading the pack, so it's tough to root against him.
Yeah, that's an interesting scenario there, the Luke Heimlich situation. Do you think he should be allowed to pitch?
I think he should be allowed to pitch, but I don't think he should be surprised or upset that he's not getting a shot in pro ball.
Yeah, but I feel like, so for those who don't know, Luke Heimlich is the pitcher for Oregon State who last year it came out that he had molested his six-year-old cousin, I believe, when he was 15, and he's supposed to register every year, every couple years as a sex offender, and he forgot to register last year. So a news reporter, somebody ended up finding out about the story and published it. He was supposed to be a lock to be a first-round pick last year, didn't get drafted at all. Actually, they went to the College World Series last year, and he didn't even make the trip, so I was actually wondering if he was even going to be on the team this year. He's on the team. He's the best pitcher in college baseball. My thing is would he still be on the team if he wasn't that good of a pitcher?
You know, that's a good question. You know, it seems like they would never say it, but him being their Friday night starter, it's kind of tough to turn that guy away. So they'll find any excuse to be able to keep him and say they forgave him and everyone makes mistakes. But yeah, if he was the 35th man on the roster, he's probably not on the team anymore.
No. He's definitely not on the team anymore. It'll be interesting to see if he does get a shot in pro ball. It'd just be tough. I'm thinking maybe an independent team would give him a shot, but there's just going to be so much backlash between whoever ends up signing him. I don't know if it's going to be worth it.
No, I agree. You know, we talked about this too, where the possibility of maybe signing as a free agent at the end of the year to make it less public, but I feel like there's still going to be a lot of people that come out, and there's going to be a big deal made about that. So the independent route would probably be his only shot. But even then, I mean, at what point does a team forget what he did? You know, if they weren't willing to move on after last year and give him a chance this year, why would they do it a couple years from now?
Right. And that Oregon State team is so stacked. I mean, I think they had, what, 3 first-rounders? Was that right? And, I mean, it should have been 4 because Heimlich was a first-round talent as well. And I love that that middle infielder who's like 5'7", 5'8".
Madrigal or something.
Yeah, he was the 4th overall pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy can play. He's 5'7", I think. My favorite part about him is his warm-up routine in the on-deck circle. Basically, he has a straight uppercut-type warm-up swing. It's very unique to, you know, what you normally see with guys swinging down on the ball.
Yeah, was announcing the game the other day, and they brought up his they were like, yeah, he's trying to stay on top of the ball. I'm like, no, he's not.
It was practically a golf swing from the chest up.
Yeah, that was that's impressive. That just goes to show you that organizations are really starting to not care as much about size. And I can't think of a guy under 5'10" who went in the first round, much less top 5 picks in the last 10 years.
No, yeah, no one comes to the top of my head. I know Dustin Pedroia was a high pick.
But he was second round.
He was second round, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if there ever has been someone that small in the first round, especially the top 5 or 10 picks.
Crazy, but, yeah, that program isn't – I mean, they're Oregon State's really, really killing it right now. Arkansas is doing well. Mississippi State had a nice run there. Gary Henderson led the way. What happened with their head coach again at the beginning of the season? Their head coach got fired, right,
before the
season started?
Yeah, he was sleeping around with someone. I want to say
he was one of the athletic trainers
for the football team or something. So, yeah, I'm sure he's kicking himself for not being in the World Series now with the team.
You think he should have been fired for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Well, if you're going to be an idiot and sleep around with someone that you work with, and he was married. So, I mean, it just doesn't look good for the program or for the school if they keep someone like that on staff.
Yeah, I mean, so, I guess that's
but
true.
But it also, here's my thing. You know, we're coaches, and this could be hard to say as a coach, but it goes to show you that being a coach, you don't really have as much of an impact as far as their playing performance as you think you might have, because even though he was gone the whole year, they still were able to perform. Now, obviously, coaches do have a little bit of an influence, but they don't need us as much as we think they do. We need them a lot more than they need us.
Yeah, I mean, there are days I show up, I'm like, I don't think I brought any value today.
Right.
I didn't do shit today. I don't know. It's kind of a weird. Yeah, you're kind of there as like a motivator if they're struggling, I guess I would say. But I mean, at the end of the day, you really don't need a coach.
Yeah,
I mean, to a certain extent, obviously, from a mechanical standpoint and that
right, infrastructure.
Yeah, right. But I mean, the game is mental, so I do understand coaches need to be there to help with the mental side and do just that positive reinforcement. But yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you really, in a sense, don't need any coaches.
Right.
I guess we should go find other jobs then.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not adding value. Speaking of motivation here, crazy, crazy story. Let's see, what school was this? UNC Wilmington. UNC Wilmington. They had a fantastic season this year. Their record was 39-23. They won the CAA. They had, six players taken in the draft. Four were pitchers. ERA 3.5. And their pitching coach got fired. So they had this incredible season. Their pitching coach ended up getting fired. And essentially he was the scapegoat for this, I don't know, scandal, I guess, around the college. So essentially what happened is there's this guy who I'm sure most people in the baseball world know. His name is Brian Cain. He's a motivational speaker, I guess. You would call him that, right?
Yeah.
Motivational speaker. He's the foremost authority on mental performance. That's what his website labels him as. And so he goes around, he travels, he speaks to all different teams, and he's got some really big names. I mean, he's even got UFC fighters. He's like George St. Pierre. He works with Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas A&M, Alabama, Florida State, a lot of different baseball schools, and did the same thing with UNC Wilmington. This guy gets paid, man. I mean, let's see. He was making $20,000 or $30,000 a year just off this school alone.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. We were looking at that, and like he had $6,000 for one speaking engagement, $8,000 for another, just collecting paychecks just for talking to a team for a couple days.
Yeah, and then he'll do like a Skype, he'll email, do some telephone services as well. I mean, shit, I'm thinking about maybe doing that.
Yeah, we might be in the wrong field right now.
We can change that. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing this whole thing up is he was working with the UNC Wilmington baseball team for the past several years, and he just thought basically, because pitchers are weird and they always need extra motivation, it seems like, he gave a presentation where he basically brought out a dildo and called it the dick of death. And he said that the pitchers should think of themselves as the bigger men on the field, capable of overpowering the batter they were facing. Wow.
Yeah, it's a bold move, Cotton.
Then he encouraged the pitchers to create their own dick of death to serve as a reminder and motivational tool. I mean, in this day and age with the PC culture, that's just unacceptable.
Well, and what I'm trying to figure out is
I'm very triggered by that.
When he says to create your own, like, is he talking like go out and buy a dildo, or are you drawing something, or like what? I'm just trying to figure out what they actually brought in the dugout, because didn't they actually bring something into the dugout?
Yeah, so the players did make a it says a prop. the players did, and they brought it into the dugout without the coaching staff knowing about it. And this actually happened during the 2017 season. And so what had happened was a photo of, and they even, I love how they quote this, they even, a photo of the, quote, dick of death, made it into the dugout during a tournament game and was caught on picture. So a picture was taken of it somehow. Man, this is just an incredible story. And so essentially what happened is the school found out about it, ended up, there was a rumor going around in like April this season that they were going to fire the head coach. And so the team went on strike and decided, or they were going to go on strike, and they were going to have a midweek game, and basically they weren't going to wear their school uniforms and just play for themselves, I guess what they said. So anyway, ended up not happening at all. Strike didn't happen. It seemed that it was going to go just under the water, just move right on. And then right after the season ended, they made it to a regional, had an incredible season. The pitching coach ended up being the scapegoat, and he got fired.
Yeah, pretty wild, because like you said, you know, it started in 2017. It seemed like it kind of blew over, but obviously they were rehatching it. I want to know if they were still doing it this season. Were they still using it this season?
It doesn't. I'm not sure. Maybe we could get some one of those players on. No, I don't think they were. No, because it says even back in December that it had been brought up by the school, and that they were aware of the situation is what right. It says. So,
well, the pitching coach got fired because he was the one leading this, wasn't he? Isn't he the one that organized the meetings with Brian Kane?
No, Brian Kane the school employed Brian Kane. I mean, he was even working with the women's basketball team.
And they're the ones that should be in trouble, not the coach.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, you know, in this day and age, someone's got to be the fall guy, and unfortunately, that was this pitching coach. And right. What a shame.
Yeah, well, it shows how much the players really liked him and appreciated him, because they were willing to go on strike for him.
Well, they were willing to go on strike for the head coach.
Oh, that was for the head
coach. That was for the head coach,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But didn't the head coach call him and tell him about the pitching coach getting fired, and all of them were backlashing about it? And
a little bit, but I mean,
it
was after the season, and it's just at that point, it's too late.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do. Man, that's crazy. So we're up here in Lima, Ohio. We're still coaching the Great Lakes League. Have you learned anything different since our last episode?
I don't know if we talked about this in the last episode, but probably the hardest part about running a team like this is all the players we have. We have 17 position players, and just being able to organize a lineup every single night and trying to get guys playing time. But, you know, we're getting to the point now where we got to win ball games. I mean, we're expected to win from the top. Our GM and the organization expects us to win. So it's tough to, you know, get guys even playing time right now. But I feel like we've done a good job of giving guys opportunities, and now it's just a matter of going with whoever has the hot hand.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. I mean, it is tough. We have a lot of position players on our team specifically. But in general, I think in summer baseball, it can be tough. It can be long, depending on whether you're a high school player or college player. But you just got to grind and just understand that whatever your goals are, I mean, for me, it was all about making the major leagues. That's all I cared about. I literally did not care about anything else. And if you have similar goals like that, you need to be out there every day. And when you're up in the box, you got to be greedy. I mean, I like selfish hitters. I like hitters who they go 2-for-2 and then they want to go 3-for-3. They want, you know, or they go 0-for-3, but they're not down on themselves. They go that fourth at bat, like they know they're going to go up there and just crush. And I'll never forget watching Miguel Cabrera against Roger Clemens when he was with the Marlins in the playoffs. And I think he was with New York.
2003 World Series.
Yeah, yeah. And Cabrera was, I believe, a rookie. Went up against him, was 0-for-4 with like 2 or 3 strikeouts. Just looked terrible that whole game. And the average hitter, right, even for me, you go up there, you're 0-for-3, 0-for-4 with a few strikeouts. You're not going to be as confident in that fifth at bat. He goes up there, very first pitch of that fifth at bat, oppo bomb.
Yeah, that's the type of player you want. You want that guy that's hungry. They're not going to get down on themselves. They're not going to be throwing their helmet pissed off after their first or second at bat. I mean, that's the thing. It's a
long
game.
Well, I'm okay with that. I like that.
You like the
helmet
being
thrown? No. I misspoke. I don't like that. I can understand that sometimes. Well, I was good for one of those a year.
Oh, no, every once in a while, absolutely. But when it's your first or second at bat of the game, or especially when it's the first three games of the season or something like that, there's no reason for that. But no, I get it. for me, it's just a matter of finding guys that are just hungry to play and like they're wanting to get better. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the summer season. I mean, who cares if you bat, you know, 400 here? You know, that'd be great, but you need to be working to improve and to try to get better for your school.
Well, I think it does matter what you bat because I think scouts do watch that. I mean, yeah, people do watch that. I mean, if you hit 185 or 200 in this league, I mean, or any college summer league, don't expect to be a top 10 round pick.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you have a good summer somewhere, they're going to come watch during the spring. But if you go out in the spring and you tear it up, teams will be there. They're going to be there to watch other schools. So I don't think it matters too much. I mean, obviously it matters to get them there initially, but if you're performing in the spring, teams are going to be there to watch you.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. It's just...
because some guys don't even play the summer going into their draft year.
Right, but I mean, potentially that could even really help them because if they didn't play that well, like Andrew right. Benintendi, he didn't play at all in the summer.
Right.
He just went back home and worked out. Now he actually had an injury when he was at Arkansas, and so that's why he went back home to Cincinnati, just worked out all offseason. But,
right.
I mean, it...
No, I'm not saying that it doesn't matter what your numbers are. The point I'm trying to make is I feel like there's too many guys that show up to summer ball too passive, thinking it's just a fun time, not really working on things, and they go back to school and they're the exact same player.
Yeah.
And that's what can't happen. You know, you as a college-age kid, I feel like from 18 to 21, you should be getting better every single year. It's one thing to be in pro ball and you're playing the highest competition and it might be tough to make those strides every year. But at the college level, as you're getting stronger and bigger and older, I feel like you should be making strides every single year.
I wonder if some of the guys, I'm not talking about necessarily on our team, I'm just saying in general, if maybe they don't think it's realistic for them to make the big leagues.
Then why play?
I don't know.
I don't know. For me, like I was the same way as you. Like that was all I wanted to do is be a Major League Baseball player. Now, obviously, not everyone's going to be. Very few are going to be. But for me, like if I'm going to invest that much time into something, why not try to be the best you can be?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is I've been able to be around several big leaguers, watch them play, watch them work out. A lot of them aren't like, don't make your jaw drop when you watch them work out. They don't hit the ball necessarily any harder than some of the guys we see or run faster. I mean, some obviously do. You look at Billy Hamilton or somebody, but for the most part, it's just their consistency. So, I mean, a lot of the guys have the physical tools. They may not believe they do, but they do. It's just the consistency of doing it like every single day. And that's why it is so hard to not just make it to the big leagues, but stay there. I mean, from a position player standpoint especially, I mean, it is just – it blows my mind how hard it is. I never even obviously made it, but, I mean – I just have so much respect for the guys who are able to not just make it, but stay. And I just hope that, you know, if there's someone out there who's listening, understand that there's a good chance that if you don't have the tools, you know, there's people around you who do have the tools to make it there, but it's going to be some stuff. So it's going to be some mental preparation, some mental things that are going to either hold you back or get you to that level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're exactly right. There's plenty of guys at the college level that have certain capabilities that major leaguers do. They, you know, but one thing that separates those major leaguers is that they all have something that helps them stand out. And whether it's, you know, their defense that they're able to every day they're able to bring it and be a solid defender. Or every day they're great at the plate. It's just that consistency, like you're saying. And if you talk to any big leaguer, they'll say that the hardest part wasn't necessarily getting there, but staying there in the big league. So, you know, it's just incredible that guys are able to stay there for 10 plus years and perform at a high level. Just have a lot of respect for those guys for the way they go about their business and just the work they put in. And it's interesting to see some college kids and just their approach to it. Some of them, I feel like, have too laid back of a work ethic, in the sense that some of them think that they're going to be fine or they have plenty of time, when in reality they don't have plenty of time.
Now, the window's closing.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, you know. I mean, these kids that are going into their sophomore year even, they have three seasons left potentially of their life playing baseball. And when you think about that, how fast 3 years goes by, or 2 years, I think you would work a little bit differently if you realized that was all you had left to play this game.
Yeah, because you want to put up really good numbers because – an injury could happen. And so if an injury does happen, what sample size should they have to go off of if you want to get drafted? They got nothing if you don't produce anything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just about going about it the right way every day and controlling everything you can control. That's what I always tell my players that I coach, is that there's not a lot of things that you do have control over. You don't have control over what the pitcher's going to throw you. You don't have control over what the hitter's going to do if you're a pitcher. But you do have control over how you carry yourself, how you work, and what you're doing on a daily basis. If you can control those things, then you have nothing left to second guess.
Last topic I want to talk about. This has nothing to do with baseball. Who was? So we went to a country concert the other day. What was that guy's name again?
Chris Lane, dude. Come on.
Chris Lane. Okay, so I've never been to a concert in my life before.
You're kidding.
No, that was the first time I've ever been to a concert. Yeah. And I was, why in the hell do, I don't know, is this normal where you go to a concert and they play other people's songs?
No, that was really weird. But I was trying to figure out, was that the same guy? Was that Chris Lane? Because he was in a different outfit.
Yeah, that was the same guy.
That was the same guy?
Yeah.
No,
I've heard of that before.
Well, there's certain groups that will do that for the whole concert. But,
why?
Well, maybe he just doesn't have enough songs. I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. I was like, the content must not be enough. I don't know why you're... I mean, what were some of the stuff he was... Obviously, he did some of country music, but...
Yeah, but it wasn't all country.
No, well, he was copying other songs.
No, he was all over the place. No, I don't know what that was about, honestly. But no, every country concert I've been to, they only play their songs. But he is a newer guy, so I'm thinking maybe he just doesn't have enough songs to perform for a whole night.
He doesn't have 10 songs, and he can perform 3 of them or 4 of them?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. But that was different.
All right, well, I mean...
Well, shoot, man. You got your first concert underway. Now we got another one coming up next weekend for a country concert here in Ohio.
Yeah,
are you gonna make it?
Yeah, I mean, I heard there's gonna be like 100,000 people there.
I have a feeling that was an exaggeration.
It probably was an exaggeration. Well, I don't like being around tons and tons of people.
It's a 3-day concert, so it's probably 100,000 total throughout the 3 days, and it's just a big open field. So, I don't think it's gonna be as bad as you think.
Yeah, I'm not like someone who goes into a big stadium. I don't. That's not me. I need space. I need some space.
It's outside. You can wander off into the woods
now,
if you need
to. Can you,
to.
Though? Because there's people everywhere.
Guess we'll find out.
All right. Well, until next week, I was going to mention something about the Brian Kane situation again, but we'll just leave it at is. You got Oregon State, you said?
I got Oregon State. Who do you got?
I guess Oregon State. Not very exciting.
Well, you got to go with Arkansas, so we have a little competition.
Yeah, I don't know anybody on Arkansas, though, or I can know anything of them. I mean, Oregon State has 3 first-round picks.
I know. Yeah, I mean, this was one of the first, not first World Series, but this is a good matchup to where they're 2 highly ranked teams. Oregon State's number 3, and Arkansas is number 5. So it's good to see highly ranked teams duke it out in the championship.
All righty.